those in the first resurrection, they will not die the second death, and they reign with him 1,000 years. It's repeated. Now, the last three verses. When the 1,000 years is over, Satan is loosed. He's not in the bottomless pit anymore, because the second resurrection of the wicked has taken place. He'll go among them and lie. I just resurrected you. We've got an enemy in that city over there. Because we know Christ returns with the New Jerusalem, Zechariah 14. His feet will touch the Mount of Olives, make a huge plain for the city to rest upon. That part of the earth is purified and made holy. City New Jerusalem is either the size of the state of Oregon, if you take one way to take the measurements, or it extends from the Pacific coast to the Mississippi River. The righteous in New Jerusalem were here. The wicked are resurrected. Now the devil can tempt them, and he gathers them from the four quarters of the earth. They're all over the earth. Devil isn't omnipresent. He's got to go in Christ's image and gather this Gog and Magog to battle. Numbers, the sands of the sea, and they went up and they surround the camp of the saints, New Jerusalem. Fire comes down, it's over, and a new earth is created. So that's what Revelation 20 tells us. And now when we get to the different interpretations, the first interpretation was that Jesus would come quickly, pre-millennial, and then set up a worldly empire for 1,000 years. And during that 1,000 years, people would have a second chance to be saved, that were living, and even the dead would be resurrected and given a second chance. It's a very popular teaching in many churches. But Jesus didn't come. And time went on, and they said, oops, we've got to have 1,000 years in which we get the world ready for Christ so that when he comes, he can finish it up. The world's got to be prepared. So then they thought at the end of 1,000 years, Christ would come. There would be a few hard ones, and he would work with them, and they'd have their second chance under Christ. They gave up the first one under the disciples and so forth. But when do you start it? Well, they started it when Jesus. So Jesus returns to heaven around 31 A.D. when he was crucified. So in 1031, Christ comes. He didn't come. Well, he was going to put the devil away for 1,000 years. He didn't come. So then they flip-flop. Is it pre or is it post? If it's post, you got to set another date. Well, what about Luther, the Reformation? Oh, yes, the devil got hung up. Well, that was 1,500, 1,000. Well, he'll come in 2,500. We got a long time yet. In one of her writings, because the people weren't taking the gospel out like they should, Ellen White says, you're like people that think Christ won't come until 1,000 years. Don't be fooled. So you've got pre and post, and they both agree on one thing. Christ has the kingdom on this earth for 1,000 years. If we prepare it and he comes afterwards 1,000 years, and everybody's got a second chance to be saved. And we believe the 1,000 years is up in heaven, not on this earth. So, is this doctrine important? Well, I'm going to read you some statements from Ellen White about the millennium. Don Kirk, he put in me a thing that you can put some words, millennium, and it'll give you every place where she used the word. It's like a concordance. I had read a lot of places. But in the Signs of the Times, 1900, she wrote this, "Much of the preaching of the present day," and that's over 100 years ago, "is of a character to lull the people into a spiritual sleep." Jesus said the 10 virgins would all be sleeping, the wise and the foolish. It's not just the foolish that gets snookered. It's the wise, but they've got extra oil. She goes on to say the people ate, no, that's the second one, "when they shall say peace and safety," because that's what Satan will bring, peace and safety. "Then sudden," no, that's 1 Thessalonians 5. I got to get my glasses fixed here. Okay. "Much of the preaching of the present day is of a character to lull the people into a spiritual peace. The doctrine of the millennium is a soothing potion to the sinner who does not desire to cease from sin." Second chance. They love that, peace and safety. Now, Paul in 2 Thessalonians warned, when they say peace and safety, it's over. You can't say peace and safety when the bombs are falling, when people are blowing themselves up. There will have to be a period of peace and safety. And Satan will use that to say, "I've got the devil bound, and we're getting into a period of peace and safety, and everybody's got an extra chance to be saved." Her next statement comes from the Spirit of Prophecy. They were the little books, and they were about four volumes of them. And she says this, "Prominent among the false doctrines, besides Sunday is the Sabbath, and when you die, you go to heaven or the other place. Prominent among these false doctrines is that of the temporal millennium, 1,000 years of spiritual peace and prosperity in which the world is to be converted before the coming of Christ." Now that's what post, we've got this 1,000 years of peace and prosperity, the world's converted, Muslims, Jews, everybody, and then Christ comes, we get it ready for him. Pre, he comes, and then he has 1,000 years. The devil doesn't care which one you believe. Peace, prosperity, second chance to be saved. Good things are happening. Then in Desire of Ages, page 633, and she's speaking about Christ at the end, "Christ does not here bring to view a temporal millennium when he gives the prophecies of his coming. 1,000 years in which all are to prepare for eternity." That isn't what Christ taught. Here's what he taught. He tells us that it was in the Noah's day, so shall it be when the Son of Man comes again. They ate, they drank, they planted, they built, they married, they gave in marriage. The world would never come to an end. Noah's a false prophet. There's no water up there to come down. It would have fallen before. And so, boom, the flood got them, caught them off guard. The next one is from, this is Great Controversy. And there's a lot of history in Great Controversy. She quotes a lot of historians. That's why I like to read it. And she gets into the period of the Great Disappointment. He didn't come in 1843 because poor old Miller didn't know that when you go from B.C. 1 to A.D. 1, there's a zero in there. All he had to do was add a year. So he added a year. Now Christ will come on October 22, 1844. They knew it would happen. And it was the midnight cry. And, it, you know, the Lord's coming, the virgin. Some of them woke up and others woke up. Hey, it's out. And can we get some? And they said, go and buy at midnight. Only Walmart is open at midnight. You don't get a lot of places open in those days, probably none. So by the time they borrowed from a neighbor, it was too late. So she's describing the Advents. They weren't Seventh-day Adventists. From many churches, they didn't know what to do. And Miller says, And somehow they were drawn together and they began to see that the Sabbath, because there were Seventh-day Baptists, and they began to see a judgment before Christ comes, the investigative judgment. Christ goes through the books and tells the angels, this one I'm going to resurrect, this one, before he comes. At the resurrection, the righteous raise. Their judgment is happening now. Peter says, don't you know judgment begins at the house of the Lord? What we think of all everybody in the great big judgment before, that's the wicked. Their sins, everybody will see from the beginning to end, Satan and whatnot. But the righteous, they won't see our sins, they're blotted out. If we're in the second resurrection, we're going to be embarrassed when everybody can see what we did and all the chances we had. So they got together on the state of the dead, and they had to give up old beliefs. And in Great Controversy, page 379, she describes it this way. Such were the blessed results experienced by those who accepted the Advent message that Christ will come. They came from different denominations, and their denominational barriers were hurled to the ground. They gave up what they had been taught and accepted new light. I like this statement. Conflicting creeds were shivered to atoms. They hadn't split the atom back when this was written. That's modern. But their false teaching just blew them apart. The unscriptural hope of a temporal millennium was abandoned. The old 1,000 years on this earth, that's gone. False views of the second advent were corrected. Why does he come the second time? To take the righteous to the houses he has built. That's John 14. You go to John 18, where Pilate is talking to Jesus because he says, you're king of the Jews? That means war with Rome. There's only one king. And the Jews said, if I don't tell Caesar, Caesar's going to be mad at me that I let a king take over. Now, Herod was a king. You know, they said, you're a king. He was more like a governor. He was a puppet under Rome. So Jesus calmed his fears. He said to Herod, my kingdom is not of this world. Christ will never set up 1,000 years on this old world. He'll set up an eternal kingdom in the new earth. But they had twisted and turned it. They gave all that up. And it's so pride and conformity to the world were swept away. Wrongs were made right, hearts united. And that's out of it came two groups, Seventh-day Adventists, First-day Adventists, who kept setting new times for Christ to come and just dribbled away. Now, in Great Controversy, she says this, Papists, that's the papacy, Protestants, that's those that are going to follow the papacy, and worldlings, Muslims, Buddhists, atheists, you name it, will alike accept the form of godliness without the power, and they will see in this union, spiritualism is there too, a great movement for the conversion of the world and ushering in the long-expected millennium. It's going to be one of the key doctrines along with Sunday, but it takes you away from God's law, Sabbath, Sunday, to Christ. 1,000 years here, the devil chained. He can't do anything. Peace, prosperity. It's going to be, I know the economic pressure, you can't buy or sell if you have the mark of the beast. I understand that. But this Muslims, they're not killing people. They're good Christian. Peace and prosperity. That millennium is going to be pushed, and it doesn't matter your post or pre, as far as the world is taught, it's on this earth, it's 1,000 years, you get a second chance, go for it. Then she gives a description of the wicked who are bragging that this is Christ and we do have a kingdom on this earth. They accept, they don't know, it's the devil. She said the wicked declared that they had the truth. You guys, Sabbath and Sunday, you're way off. Up in heaven, you're way off. That miracles was among them. We're going to have miracles too. God's people who work miracles. Miracles won't be the big test. That angels from heaven talked with them. Angels are talking. Yeah, Satan can appear as an angel. And he'll have his devils, all nice holy angels, but he will appear as Christ. Not only talked with them and walked with them. Right here. That great power and signs and wonders were performed among them, and that this was the temporal millennium that had been expected so long. The whole world was converted and in harmony with the Sunday law, tied right in. The whole world's keeping. What's wrong with you people? This is Christ. You say he's the devil. That's what they said to Jesus, the Pharisees. You're the devil, you're the devil. So the millennium becomes the umbrella under which Sunday law comes in for this, and papists, Protestants. And most of God's people are still, you know, in the world. They're good people in many churches, and they will be called out. And a lot of our people, they're going to be snookered into this. Go to all the world. You guys are the best missionaries. You know how to set it up. We got calls for you. Here's a big salary. Head into that place. The Muslims are begging for teachers. They're accepting Christ. And then the last one is a letter also in 1900. All will be tested and tried according to the light they have. God doesn't judge us on what we don't know, ignorance, but what we know. And the third angel message will be given to all the world. They will see clearly Sabbath, Sunday, and make their choice. There will be economic pressure. There will be this great, they will see clearly where the millennium is. And they'll make their choice. Then it goes on to say, those who turn from the truth to fables can look for no second probation. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth awake and are raised to everlasting life. But there is no second chance, no second probation that they will be teaching. And of course, it sounds good, and when you see so many of the world accepting it, it's going to be powerful. So be prepared, this millennium truth, that doesn't matter which one, it's out there kind of hidden, it's going to be pushed, and Sunday is tied in with it. The final movements will be short. Things are happening fast. You know, Martin Luther at one time taught that the Muslims, especially Turkey, was the Antichrist. Later, when he studied it a little bit differently, he said, no, it's the Pope, papacy, all these popes. But at first he said Turkey. It was a common because they had trouble with the Turks. They were slaughtering Christians. If any Muslim stood up and told the people, I'm God, you know what happened to him? He'd be dead. There is no Muslim that ever will claim to be God or Christ. So, but people can listen to modern interpretations and look at the headlines and say, this is it. The Satan, he has used this millennium when they thought Christ was coming, and a lot of people left it. And he likes to use things that work, and he will bring it up again. So we have to be able to understand and have Bible proof what Jesus said, we're going to, with him to heaven, and rule there 1,000 years, not on this earth. Well, our closing song, it says, don't be afraid, God's in control, 92. Brother Bog.
Just think, when we get to heaven, we're going to be teenagers. Anyway, hey, this is a lovely hymn. This is my Father's world. You know, I don't know about you, I'm just passing through. And this is just not my end, it's always my beginning down here. And this is a beautiful song, so let's stand before our Lord and sing it. This is my Father's world, and to my listening ear, all nature sings, and round me rings the music of the sphere. This is my Father's world, I rest me in the thought. Notice. Of rocks and trees, of skies and seas, his hand the wonders wrought. This is my Father's world, the birds their carols raise, the morning light, the lily white, declare their make. Praise. This is my Father's world. He shines in all that's fair. In the rustling grass, I hear him pass. He speaks to me everywhere. This is my Father's world, oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is a ruler yet. This is my Father's world, why should my heart be sad? The Lord is King, let the heavens ring, God reigns, let the earth be glad.
Scripture that gives us faith and hope, and we know that your Son wants to come, and we want him to come. But may your Holy Spirit enable us to spread the third angel's message, the everlasting gospel, and may it happen soon. We thank you that we're one Sabbath closer to heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.